Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
What do you think it's like to grow up under communist regimes? Well, our guest, Harry Mehet, Chief Litigation Counsel for Liberty Counsel, experienced that and found his very first day of freedom at the age of 12 on Christmas Day in Romania. We're going to be talking to him on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Harry, welcome to Faith and Freedom, and your story has so much to teach us here in America and, frankly, in any country around the world. We do take freedom for granted in America oftentimes, and we can never take it for granted. The freedom that we enjoy today is not necessarily the freedom that will be here tomorrow. And you have grown up in a country where everything was dictated. When you could use hot water, whether you could use the word liberty or libertate in your language of Romanian, and so much more. You also have experiences, though, about what happened when the Bible was brought into communist Romania, where your dad and your mom and other pastors would get Bibles and try to distribute them. There's a story that I want you to share about the day that the secret police came to your home in the middle of the night seeking these illegal contraband Bibles.
That's right. You know, the government in Romania really did want to control everything, not just the physical aspect of daily life in terms of, you know, electricity and food and water and where you could work and what kind of job or career you could have, but also when it came to matters of conscience, to religion. You know, it was Karl Marx who said religion is the opium of the masses. And the communists in Romania had gotten to be so big and so powerful, they didn't want to compete with God for the allegiance of the people. They essentially drove the church underground. And one of the things they did is they outlawed the Bible, and possessing one Bible was against the law. Possessing many Bibles with intent to distribute was sometimes a capital crime or a crime for which you could be arrested and sent to a labor camp, never to be heard from again. The communists hated the Bible because they understood the power that the Word of God has to change lives and to bring freedom and liberty to the people. And so what they would do when they would find these Bibles, not only would they take their owners away, but they would also take the Bibles and transform them into toilet paper as the ultimate insult.
So they would take the Bibles and then make paper out of it?
That's right. They would make toilet paper out of them as sort of the ultimate insult to the Word of God. But just as a comic aside here, you know, God has a wonderful sense of humor, and the communists were not very good at making anything, toilet paper included. And so in their manufacturing process, it just so happened that these rolls of toilet paper would come out, and they would still have the Bible, passages from the Bible printed right there on the toilet paper. So
a verse from Ephesians or Romans that's still written on the toilet paper.
That's right. We would hear, you know, stories of God's word making it into people's homes, courtesy of the communists themselves. God often takes what people intend for evil and turns it into good for his glory. And he did that time and time again in Romania. But coming back to the story that you asked me to share, there was one time when, despite our best efforts, the word got out. The Mehet house, my dad was a pastor, the Mehet house had a stack of Bibles, 300 Bibles we had received from missionaries from America. They were in our home, ready to be distributed to people that were hungry for the Word of God. The secret police finds out, and one night, there's loud banging on our doors, German shepherds barking because they had been trained to sniff out Bibles. And so they're here now to find these Bibles, turn them into toilet paper, and perhaps take my parents away for having them. So my dad goes to the door. He opens the door. They barge in, and they say why they're here. They start going from room to room to search out these Bibles. They were in the middle of our living room in a big stack. We had just gotten them. So while that's happening, my quick-thinking mother goes into the kitchen and turns on a pot of coffee. Now, our listeners have to understand that coffee was the rarest of delicacies in Romania. The only reason we had it is because the people that smuggled the Bibles in from America smuggled some coffee as well. So all of a sudden, these evildoers start smelling this coffee and they're thinking, well, that's kind of strange. So then my mom takes a piece of plywood, puts it on top of these Bibles in the living room, covers it with one of her nice table covers. And all of a sudden now we have a makeshift coffee table. Now, to us, it was obviously crooked, right? I mean, it was...
It's no big deal.
Well, exactly. Yeah, like I said, the communists weren't good at making things. And they, the only way you could buy furniture was from their stores. And this could pass for a communist coffee.
And I imagine the smell of the coffee probably confused the dogs too, right?
It did. My mom then takes this this freshly brewed coffee, brings it in just as they're entering this room, and puts it right on top of our brand new makeshift communist crooked coffee table. And I have to tell you, I think they were so taken aback by the fact that they had come there with evil intent, right? And yet they're met with seeming hospitality and with the best that we have to offer. And I guess the smell of the coffee filled the nostrils of those dogs. But I tell you, we had a little gathering there. The mood turned to comic relief. There were jokes being bantered around. They forgot why they came there. They enjoyed some coffee. They left a few minutes later satisfied and full and completely oblivious to the miracle that God had worked right under their noses.
At the dog's level is the contraband Bibles that they came in to search and seize.
That's right.
God has a sense of humor.
And you think of here in America, we have how many Bibles per household? We just take that for granted now.
Yeah.
That's right. And I have to say, you know, this was over 30 years ago, and we've covered in other programs how the freedom came to the people, and here we are 30 years later. But just to put a postscript on that story, several years back, we had a chance to visit Romania again. I went with my parents, and we went to the old church that my dad used to pastor in that little town. And at the end of the service, my dad was met by someone whom he recognized instantly. And it was the chief of the secret police in the town that we had grown up, the man who had sent these people into our house.
Oh, my goodness.
And the men that had persecuted my father and deprived him of water and food and arrested him many times. And he was there with tears in his eyes. To speak with my dad, to hug him, to tell him that he is now his brother in Jesus Christ, that he had gotten saved, and that he knew what real freedom was today. And it was just such a sweet, joyous occasion to watch the persecuted and the persecutor now together as brothers in Jesus Christ. Only God could work that kind of a miracle in the hearts of people, Matt and Holly.
Oh, man, that is an amazing story. It is an amazing story of God at work, and wherever things are happening around the world, in our country, no matter how bad things are, God is still on the throne, and he's still at work, and he still has a plan.
Absolutely, and you know, Matt, you and I see this kind of thing also happening in our cases here. I'm reminded of the Scott Lively case, where we defended Pastor Lively for 6 years against the activist LGBT people from Uganda that accused him of crimes against humanity for preaching the gospel. Well, you know, after we won that victory, a few months later, we're contacted by Val Kalende, one of the leaders of the LGBT group that had persecuted him for 6 years. And she contacts us to tell us she was now our sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wanted to apologize for what she had done, for the heartache that she had caused this man of God and Liberty Council. So God still works in powerful ways, and people around us are still having Damascus Road experiences.
Yeah, for sure.
That's where we're fighting so hard for the gospel to be free, because we know it has power to change lives.
Well, our guest is Harry Mehat, our chief litigation counsel. I encourage you to go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, for more information. Join this ministry. Don't get discouraged by what's happening out there, what you see in the media. God is still on the throne and in control. Get involved. and stand with us as we advance religious freedom, life, and family. LC.org, that's LC.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.